Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Northwood Basketball Weekly, live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mint. I'm Travis McCurdy. Our first guest tonight, Tom Church. Coach Church, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, Travis. How you doing?
I'm great. After Coach Church, we will have, from the men's team, our guest is Nick Ellis, the junior forward from Grand Ledge. And then on the women's side, we'll have Autumn Hagedon, as well as Reagan Lowinger, a redshirt senior from Goodrich. Coach, you come in tonight with coming up a couple games last week, Thursday night against nationally ranked Finley, and we've said this a lot this year.
Do we have to talk about
Finley? We're going to talk about the 37 minute syndrome, I think, which is what could be almost be the name of parts of the season for you guys. Finley is on top of the conference. They are a nationally ranked top 13 in the country at the time, and you guys played. You know what? Unfortunately, we lost a very disappointing game in overtime. But I don't think we need. It's hard to forget that you guys played an awesome game that night and
our
just came up with very, very
inspired.
Low score.
Yes, they played inspired. We had a great crowd. The student section, the football team, they were rocking. We played inspired and just super disappointed for our guys. Definitely wanted the win for them. Beating a nationally ranked team and. Hats off to Finley because they did what they needed to and made a play down the stretch, and we didn't. And, I think it goes back to just, we haven't been in those situations too often. But we're going to learn from it. Hopefully, usually you want to learn from a win.
Yeah.
But we're going to learn from it and move on, and hopefully, that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, that's one of the things that you have to say, too, is that it's and you hate to say it this way, but like one of those teams has won a lot of games and knows how to win, and one of them's learning how to win. And you guys defensively, before we got in there, we talked about defensively, again, till about the 4 minute mark of the second half, it was an incredible defensive effort. A team that scored an upper 80s per game, winning by 30 points per game. Their previous season low was 69 points, and with 4 minutes to go in the game, they hadn't cracked 50, and it was. The defense was incredible up to that point.
I'll tell you what, like our positioning, our physicality, we were really getting it done. I mean, and not for a 5 or 10 minute stretch. I mean, for 36 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was about as intense as it gets. And they had missed a few shots, but I think that was over the course of the game. Our physicality, I think, was wearing on them. And we were guarding the ball, forcing them into some tough turnarounds, tough shots. And, gosh, I'll tell you, it's disappointing, too, because it goes back to where, you look over the course of the year, our free throw shooting has just been an Achilles heel for us.
Yep.
And you could probably look back over 2 to 4 games to where, if we shoot an average free throw shooting percentage, we may come away with some W's in those games, but – we're at the bottom of Division II and shooting free throws, and we've worked on it, but I think when it comes down to it mentally, we just it's a thing for us, and we're trying to overcome it, but we missed 2 in the last minute there, and it came back to hurt us, and no one play makes the game because there was a lot of other plays,
of course,
throughout the game, but just the free throw shooting where. We make a few here or there. We're in good shape.
Yeah. We're talking with Tom Church at Northwood Basketball Weekly, live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mint. Yeah, like you look back on – and it was a game during the broadcast for – I'm sure the Finley fans are like, we're 1 for 21 from 3, and we're a 38% three-point shooting team for the season.
Yep.
But you had a ton to do with that. And Northwood fans are looking at – we're going to overtime, and we're 10 for 20. We finished the game 10 for 22 from the foul line, and had a couple of golden opportunities down the stretch with weird things happening and just unusual things. But like we talk about how Finley's a team that finds a way to win. 1 for 21 down the stretch,
then went
four for seven down in the last 4 minutes when they had struggled all game, and then suddenly
you knew eventually they were going to start to make a few shots, and we could feel we felt like maybe we could hold them at bay. And I will say this: it wasn't like it just came down to the end and then they tied it. Like they took the lead with under 2 minutes to go, and that was a big possession when I think we got a miss. We ran it out, threw it into JT. They were kind of scrambling. I don't think they got matched up. We kicked it out to Will. and he bottomed out a huge three to put us back up two. So it was good to see the fight in our kids. It was just wasn't meant to be, you know. And then at the end of the game there, we wanted a foul on the sideline out of bounds.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. But yeah, we can bring it up. Yeah.
We wanted a foul, but we just never got in a position to where we could foul.
Yep.
And we talked about the screening angles, but we were so intent on the sideline in the huddle on not fouling a shooter, forcing everything out. As soon as they catch, you know, we want a foul right away. Because you always get scared of an intentional foul or something like that.
5.1 seconds left, I think, when that play.
5.1 seconds left, and they did. They drew a beautiful, over-the-top pass. So,
And then, to their credit, I know we made a mistake. We didn't quite.
We still got a challenge, too, a couple challenges,
We got that on that last play. We didn't execute on the screens the way we wanted to, but to their credit, that catch and quick pass, once you don't foul the guy that catches in the paint, you cannot foul the guy that catches on the paint.
No, and Will did a good job of not fouling. Yeah. He challenged, and then JT challenged, and they hit a shot, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, the way the playoffs are set up with the point rating system, you know, you look back, and that was a big counter, could have been a big counter for us. So we got some other ones coming up, though, that are big point stuff. So we'll talk. I know we'll talk about that here soon.
So then on Saturday you played Ashland, and I will say, and I mean, Ashland, I think, is better than the record.
For sure.
That is a dangerous team. That is a team that could certainly win the GMAC tournament, with Maceo being such a hard guard, and they've got big bodies that can make shots and stuff. And I thought we didn't play as well as we did on Thursday. It's tough to bounce back after a win. No matter what you say until you're blue in the face, it's tough to bounce back from a game like Findlay. But I thought Ashland was really good, and they played a really good game.
I thought so, too. And, I think it was an 8-point game with 10 minutes to go, and I didn't even think we'd be playing that well.
Yeah.
We looked exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, we looked mentally and physically exhausted. And win or lose on Thursday, you felt, just because it was such an emotional game, you felt there was going to be a little bit of drainage, you know, in our guys. And you could tell our guys are playing hard, but you could tell they were just, you know, like I said, mentally and physically exhausted from Thursday's game. And, you know, I think that goes back to where you gotta learn from it and move on and be prepared. And, you know, I think our I don't know if our depth has kind of hurt us. Guys played a lot of minutes on Thursday.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of all goes into it. But, again, you know, those are some things that we've got to learn and grow from, for sure.
Well, and then you're facing a player like Maceo Williams, who is so good with both hands, such a big, strong body that, his hook shot with either hand is almost equally as deadly. And
he's a good player. He really is.
He's a very good player. And that's and what it does, too, is, for someone like Eli – guarding with JT, it's a tough matchup for JT. JT's going to get fouled. Eli did a great job on him, but then you're taking your best scorer and kind of making him exert so much energy on their best scorer. And Maceo Williams is the kind of player that makes things tough on the other team.
Yeah, he does. And it's you know, they've been shooting the ball really well. And if you try to double him, you know, now they got these guys, they're kicking out and making shots. And I know that they did that against Thomas More. So they were tough. It's a tough matchup. It was and offensively, I thought they guarded us really well.
Yeah,
I thought that was the big difference, where offensively we just couldn't get clicking.
Yeah, and I remember first time we played him was an absolute slugfest. And the first 5 minutes of that game Saturday was like an instant replay of that game.
It certainly was. And I said, we hung around. We had that stretch in the first half where they got away from us a little bit. We battled back, but we just didn't seem to have that same mojo that we had Thursday.
And so now you had Sunday off, came back to work this week. How the guys responded in practice
good,
this week?
Good, good. We've had some good practices. You know, having Wesleyan here on Thursday, it's kind of a little bit different week, home game, and then road on Saturday. But, you know, that Kentucky trip didn't go well for us for a lot of different
reasons. Yeah.
Eli went down with an injury in the Wesleyan game. So we kind of got all out of whack in that game, but I think they're second or third right now.
Yep.
They're a really tough guard. I think offensively we're going to have to be much better because they're so good offensively.
Yep.
But, you know, it's all going to start on the defensive end for us if we're able to really – we got to be really cover them from the perimeter because they shoot the ball so well from three.
Yeah, they are they got some options inside too, but their three-point game is really where they get things going.
Not overly deep. They only play about eight guys.
Yeah.
But their system's really good. They shoot it well, very well coached. So, you know, Thursday games have been good for us. Hopefully we can use the crowd.
Yeah.
We only got two more home games.
It's wild. Like, the basketball season goes so long, and then all of a sudden you're like, we only got two games left? That's crazy.
You know? And I think the thing that we've talked to our guys about is, like, in retrospect, we control our own destiny still with the conference tournament. You know, there's a lot of points to be gotten out there.
Yeah, you got point games coming up,
and this is a big one here.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll take it one game at a time, five games to go, still control our own destiny, but we got to definitely get one of these.
Yeah, and then Saturday you play Hillsdale, and we talked about last week the dog days of the schedule where, like, Hillsdale looked incredible for a while, and now they're, like, you get the tape – you get worn down, you get some injuries and stuff, and now Hillsdale lost a couple games last week, and they're still an excellent team, but they're not as good as they were earlier this season.
A little bit more vulnerable at home than you'd see past Hillsdale teams.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have J-Mo that last time we played him here. I thought we played him well.
Yeah.
So it'll be obviously another tough matchup. I think that we can hopefully exploit them a little bit inside with JT.
Yeah.
You know, we'll hope to have another JT game like he had against Walsh. So, you know, we should have Gio back, which will be nice this week.
Yeah.
He should be able to practice full go tomorrow. So we should be, quote-unquote, as much full healthy strength as you are at this point in the season.
Banged up, but
everybody's going. Yep. Everybody's dressing. Everybody's taped up and ready to go.
Yep. So coming down the stretch here, you talk about – just in general, what do you want to see from your team, like, this week?
I just want to see like we talked about, our guys believe and fight. Yep. You know, I don't know if Northwood's made the conference tournament since they've transitioned into the GMAC. I don't believe they have.
No. Our last tournament was the COVID year.
Yeah, and, you know, like, with us and where we're at, five games to go, controlling our own fate, I want our guys to believe like they believe against the – you know, we've obviously shown that we can play with the top team in Findlay.
Yeah.
And we will. We'll play hard. Hopefully we get the crowd behind us, use a little bit of their energy. But the first, like, two medias, that's what it's all about with us on the defensive end. If we get some stops, gain some momentum, usually that carries us, you know, throughout the rest of the game.
Yep. We've talked about a lot. But, like, end of the Findlay game, just in general, getting scores, setting your defense, especially for a team like Findlay. But in general – that's why basketball is such a game of runs, because you start making baskets and setting your defense, and then you can just kick things rolling.
And our guys know that's where we're kind of built on, and we've made some real big strides this year defensively.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's got to kind of be – it's got to kind of be our calling card. You know, you look at a Walsh team that we beat, you know, offensively, I think they scored almost 90 the game before. We were able to kind of keep them in check. So when we're getting stops – you know, defensively, I think that just gives us more confidence even on the offensive end.
Yep, it feeds both sides of the ball feed each other. Thursday night at 8 o'clock against Hillsdale. Thursday night, 8 o'clock, it's Wesleyan. Saturday, 3 o'clock at Hillsdale. Thanks for joining us. Good luck and have
a
great
week.
Thank
you. Appreciate it.
We'll take a break. We will come back with Nick Ellis. You're listening to Northwood Basketball Weekly live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mid. Welcome back to Northwood Basketball Weekly, live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mint. Our next guest, first year from in Northwood, Grand Ledge native, Nick Ellis. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm great. Let's talk about your path to Northwood. How did you end up coming from Grand Ledge? You actually had to stop at Mid-Michigan Community College as well. Talk about how you ended up coming to Northwood.
Yeah, so I was I did 4 years at Grand Ledge near Lansing.
Yeah.
I had a couple D3 offers, NAIA offers, wasn't really on the D2 map too much. So I decided to take the JUCO route, went to Mid-Michigan and Mount Pleasant for 2 years and had some success there and made my way over here.
Yeah, and it's been a good match for you and a good match for the team and stuff. And talk about how the team, I think you guys have been really close to so many more wins this year, but like, talk about how the team is growing throughout this season.
Yeah, I think just maturity wise, and we've always been on the same, like, we've always liked each other. We've always hung out off the court. We never had any chemistry problems. I think with just seeing so many new faces that late in the recruiting process, it took maybe a little bit to click on the court as much, like, basically just doing what coach wanted us to do.
Yeah.
But I mean, the steps we've taken, I don't think our record really shows the steps we've taken.
Yeah.
But as far as how we play and, just had a couple of close ones get away from us.
Yeah, and you obviously were at mid and playing in high school and stuff. What do you think the biggest change in, say, like playing at mid versus and at Grand Ledge to like playing at the Division II level?
I'd say the one that stands out to me most is the speed.
Yeah.
The physicality is kind of, you know, I've prepared my body enough to, for the physicality to not really be a problem, but I would just say that the speed and moving your feet is a lot more difficult at this level.
So looking ahead, you've got a few games coming up. You got this week, you got a couple games in the state of Michigan. An odd we could say state of Michigan to have a home and away game the way our league works out. But when you look forward to play Wesleyan, it's a team you've already played this year. They're obviously a very good team. What kind of challenges do they provide for you guys, and how do you counteract them?
They have a lot of size. They have a lot of, they have some guards that can knock down shots, so we're not going to look to post-double them too much. You know, really for this game, our big focus is – well, for both games this week, they're both what we call them point getters.
Yeah.
So, like, we have this complex system.
Oh,
yeah,
the points rating, yeah.
Yep, so these are two really good teams. I think they're both top five in the conference. And so there's a lot of points on the table to get. And then we have three more teams after that that are, you know, games that we have a good opportunity to win and make a run for the postseason. So.
Yeah, and it's right there. It's all very – I mean, it's odd that we're – like, you look at the standings and see where we're at, but, like, getting the tournament is not like some crazy pipe dream. It's still on the table. We're talking with Nick Ellis here on Northwood Basketball Weekly, live from Fricks on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Going back to when you were a kid and stuff, when did you decide that basketball was going to be yours? I mean, because everybody plays everything growing up. At what point did you think that basketball was your sport?
You know, until about high school, I was dead set on football.
Yeah.
I mean, I never really stood out in basketball until high school, until I started to develop more my skills more. But football, I was always a standout. I was always just bigger than other kids. Yeah. And I actually got hurt freshman year playing football and switched over to basketball. And, I mean, just – I just love the work.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I just got on the court more in the off season, and my trainers really made me find the love for the game.
Yeah. What positions did you play in football before you stopped playing?
I mean, at that age, you can kind of play everything. Yeah, I was tight end, wide receiver, quarterback, kicker.
Yeah. Say, there's not a lot, but like 6'8 is tough to play football. Mm-hmm. You got to be a real freaking monster.
Or really heavy.
Or an offensive lineman. I'd say you're like, you don't have to, you're a lot of things. Like an offensive lineman build is not what you would say. Grand Ledge, looking back at your time when you were younger, what are some of the memories from playing high school ball that really stands out to you?
You know, we had a great – we were a Division One or Class A, whatever Michigan does.
Yeah.
So we were a decently sized school. So big crowds, a lot of students. There was a lot of school pride. So that was what I remember most, is just, you know, you go to school and everyone was at the game and you get to talk about it and making big plays. That was the best.
Yeah, we've had a lot of Grand Ledge athletes come through here. And actually the ones I remember most are the Orwat twins. Lindsay and Hannah Orwat were very, very good players here at Northwood. And actually they were transfers too because they started at Oakland. When you're looking forward to the rest of the season, like what kind of things do you want to see the team can continue to get better at?
I really just want us to be finely tuned. I think that's like the biggest thing at the end of the season is you make all these strides like throughout the season. You want to take big steps forward. And then at the end, you kind of just – you have the foundation. You want to, like, you want to make all the fine-tuning adjustments. So I want to really fine-tune us. And then also we need to play some really good basketball to hopefully, you know, basically win out and put ourselves in a good standing for the postseason.
Yeah, because, I mean, Coach Church and I have talked a lot this year. There's probably – 5 or 6 games that you guys have played 36, 37 good minutes, but the 3 minutes are what is the difference. And it really shows at this level, in this conference, actually just in college basketball in general, the margin line is so small. The difference between winning and losing is so small. And I'm sure you feel that every game is just a war at times.
Yep. And we also have guys that have to play 36 minutes and 38 minutes. And, you know, that's hard. That's hard to think. Like, you can't ignore that. It's a hard thing to do. So,
Academically, what's your major, and what do you hope to do when you get done in school with the basketball?
Yeah, I'm just majoring in general business, and I'm not too sure. I'm leaning more towards marketing, but I'll probably just get into the field and figure it out from there and get some experience.
You still got another year of hoops after this, and then a lifetime of work after that. So taking your time is absolutely just fine. Well, Nick, really enjoy watching you play. Thanks for joining us, and good luck the rest of the way.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with women's head coach Autumn Hagedon. You're listening to Northwood Basketball Weekly, live from Fricks on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Welcome back to Northwood Basketball Weekly, live from Fricks on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt, joined now by women's head coach Autumn Hagedorn. And coach, how are you today?
I'm doing all right.
You looking forward to a big snowstorm tomorrow?
No. No. Definitely not. No, especially mid-February. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, usually there's not after this much snow. And we got way more on Saturday than I thought we were going to. We sure seemed like we were supposed to get a couple, and then it ended up being more. one game last week for you guys. Very entertaining game. Very hard-fought game. But unfortunately, you guys came up short 71-69. And the first thing I'll say, and this is with all due respect to our friends from Ohio Dominican, we didn't play our best, but that team is way too good to be 5-9 in the GMAC, too. We've talked about it all year, the couple times you play them. They're a very good team, and and then they played well on Saturday, and unfortunately 2 points better than you guys did.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. It was one of their better games of the year, but they're also a very talented team. They have a lot of offensive threats that if they have shots that go in, they're tough to beat. And, I mean, they even this season held Ashland to 49 points. I think they lost 39-49. To do that defensively is also pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So, they're growing. They're getting better every game. They're definitely a team that came in, competed, made a heck of a lot of shots, and gave us everything we had.
Yeah, and it was a very, like, you guys started real slow on offense, and then I think you had, like, 3 points in the first media timeout, and then had 16 in the last 4 minutes of the half. But then it was really, like, I mean, you look at every single quarter, 19-19, 11-9, 17-15, 26-24. It was basically, from start to finish, it was a battle.
It really was, and you know, we tried to throw some different defenses at them just to get them out of rhythm, because Bryn Mullet got going, it was trying to get her to, you know, pass the ball and do something different to slow her down. But, she made some tough contested shots. They weren't budging for either. And we did go on a couple runs, but it just wasn't enough to pull away.
Well, Oaks, Stair, and Mullet are their three best players. And you did a really good job overall against all three of them. But Mullet was the one that, like, Stair and Oaks didn't do anything in the first half.
No.
They combined for 6 points.
Yep.
But it was Mullet that took over. And then Mullet didn't quite have as good a second half. But then Stair and Oaks. And again, that's what makes them a good team is they've got three really good players at the top. There's a lot of ways they're similar to Northwood in a lot of ways.
And different positions, too, which is like us. And, you know, Stair's always been a tough matchup just because is she a post, is she a guard? Is she, you know, she's very similar to Maddie Volker in a lot of ways. She can play multiple positions. She isn't shooting the ball as well this year as she has in the past. But that left hand is deadly when she gets to it. And she got to it too many times, especially in the fourth quarter.
It was a game that you mentioned Maddie Volker had a really good second half, but struggled in the first half. Really, it was a struggle for a lot of our key players that game, but Leah Holmes was getting harassed, double-team, triple-team, and still had 25 points and 8 rebounds, 8 for 12 from the floor, 9 from 9 from the foul line. Considering what they were doing defensively trying to slow her down, it might be her best game as a Timberwolf.
Yeah, and I thought she was significantly better in the second half as well than the first half. But we missed a couple bunnies early. We missed a couple wide open threes. And I think if those fall in the first quarter, it sets up a different game. And when things got tight, we really struggled to have any kind of separating factor.
Yeah, and you look at the three-point shooting is always a big factor in these games. Where you sometimes analyze all this stuff, and one team was 7 for 18 from 3, one was 3 for 13, and you guys have been shooting it so well,
especially at home,
and sometimes the ball just doesn't go in.
Yeah, and that was the case, but I do give ODU a ton of credit. They competed, they played hard, their bench had a ton of energy, their coach was all kinds of fired up, and they wanted to win, and they willed their way.
Yeah, so 71-69 was the final of that one. You had the full week, and you know, sometimes the time off is good, but I think it would have been better for you guys to play on. Last time you had this scenario, like, it was great because of injuries and sickness and everything that, like, but this time I think you guys are coming off two great road wins. I think it probably would have been better for you guys to play on Thursday than have to wait all the way till Saturday.
Yeah, and as a coach, I'm not big on making excuses, it's definitely a tough one to get out of rhythm, get out of schedule when you go from playing Thursday, Saturday for that many weeks in a row, and then all of a sudden you don't play on Thursday.
Yep.
Makes it a little bit trickier.
Yeah, and ODU had to do the same thing, so full credit to them. Like we said, they played a great game, and this is not taken away from ODU because they were very good that night. We're talking with Autumn Hagedorn here on Northwood Basketball Weekly. Live from Frickson Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. So this week you got back to action and a split schedule this week. It's a big week for you guys, obviously. This time of year when you're contention for big things, every week's a big week. But you got two games. First up, you play Kentucky Wesleyan, a team you beat 79-63 earlier this season. But it's a big game. They're going to be fired up to play. Also, they're right behind you in the standings, one game back.
Yep.
So it's a big game to Let's just talk about Wesleyan first in general. What do you remember from that first game?
Yeah, I thought we played really well down at Kentucky Wesleyan. We came back, fought some adversity. Malin McNeely she sticks out in my brain. She hit a bunch of shots. Maeve had a phenomenal game finding shooters. We rebounded the ball pretty well. But they are a dangerous team. So similar to ODU, obviously they have a little bit better record, but they're long, they're athletic, they can get in the paint, they can shoot the ball. They don't have necessarily a true five presence. So if we could take advantage of that, that'd be great. But they are long, lengthy at the rim. It's going to be a little bit tougher.
Yeah, 79-63 was the first time you played them, and that was the game. Your starting five all were awesome in that game. Mm-hmm. All five finished in double figures. Maddie had 20, Maeve had 15, Malin had 16, Leah had 13, Ella had 11. And like you just mentioned, their weakness is one of your strengths. They really don't have a five to match up, and you guys have essentially two fives on the floor at all times. So I'm sure they're counteracting that, but I'm sure that on paper that's where you're going to start in this game.
Yeah, I think the separation factor is, you know, we do have the size at the rim, but we also don't have necessarily speed on the perimeter to defend. So just throwing, you know, things at them to hopefully make it challenging will be the goal. But if we can dominate the paint, that'll definitely be a key.
Yeah, and you guys, actually in that game, that was the odd game where both teams shot the exact same number of threes, 11 for 26, both of you. And like we mentioned, you were 3 for 13 against ODU, 11 for 26 against Kentucky Wesleyan. Mm-hmm. You won the game and you made 11 threes. It's weird.
That happens.
It's really weird how that works out. And then on Saturday, you got Hillsdale at Hillsdale, a team you lost a tough one here too earlier this year, very close. Again, right there in the standings. They just lost to Wesleyan at Wesleyan. So, I mean, and I'm sure that Hillsdale game is one that you look back and shake your fists at the clouds, like an old man shaking his fist at the clouds.
Yeah.
But they've been very good this year, and it'll be a good challenge.
Yeah, obviously one game at a time, so we want to focus on Kentucky Wesleyan, but Hillsdale is one that we definitely are going to want back. It was a tough nail-biter here on our home court, and they snuck away with it. They went on whatever, 12 to whatever it was, run in the fourth quarter to win it. So definitely one that we're going to want to go play again.
And they've kind of had some – because they recently – did that against Malone where they were behind almost the whole game and had a big run in the fourth quarter. So they've shown the ability.
Thomas Moore.
Yeah, that was it. Not Malone. Yep. It was Thomas Moore. Yeah. Yep. Where they go on these big runs at the end of the game to
almost identical to ours.
Very similar. Yeah. Very, very similar. So now you guys enter play this week. Obviously, Saturday was disappointing. How has the team responded in practice this week?
Honestly, I thought the last two practices have been really good. It's been competitive. We just had a kickback, a team meeting, and talked through some things at this point of the season in mid-February. It's, you know, we've spent a lot of time together.
It's the dog days of the season.
So just getting us collectively back together as a team and understanding that we still have a lot of great things we can accomplish this year. And, you know, it's going to start by winning one game at a time.
And that one game starts Thursday at 6 o'clock here at Reap Arena. It's always awkward when we try to say nice things about someone that's sitting 2 feet to us so can actually hear you talk about them.
But
you want to talk about
– I love that. It's my favorite.
I know. But Reagan's going to join us next. And she's obviously someone you've known about for a very long time. And talk about you knowing her and just her in general.
Yeah. And, you know, if you had to pick, like, a dark horse on our team, like a glue player that brings us all together and is a tremendous leader and does anything and everything in her power to help us win, she's one of – the best teammates I've ever witnessed as a coach. She does all the little things. Anything and everything you ask her to do, she'll do it. Teammates as well. If a teammate asks her to do something, she's going to do it. And she's one of those players, too, that's so fun to coach because she's so coachable. Like, you could tell her to do one thing, and she's going to go above and beyond to make sure she's focusing on that one thing. And I can sit here for probably 25 minutes and talk about how much Reagan Lowinger is a huge part of our team and why we go, why we motivate, why we have the leadership that we have, because she does the dirty work, and it's not necessarily shown on the box score, but it's definitely why we win games.
Well, I was going to – and this is a preview to how – I'd say that was very nice, and I was going to preview to how I'm going to introduce her. My thought was maybe the most beloved teammate.
Yes.
Of going from, like, when she was young till now, when she went through playing with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, this is a very close-knit program, and your camaraderie and your chemistry is the strength of this program.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still, like, it's not always kumbaya, everybody to everybody.
For sure.
But everybody, everybody.
She's been here for 5 years.
Five years. And she's from, where is she from originally, from high school?
Goodrich.
Oh, that's right. And where did you go to high school?
Goodrich.
And where did Jake Volker go to high school?
Goodrich.
And Maddie go to high school?
Hey, we travel in packs.
I was just going to say. So that's the point of what I was saying was that you've obviously, I'm sure, knew here before. Mm-hmm. Maybe back to when she was young, before she started playing.
Yeah,
high
well, actually, I first met Reagan at a Gus Macker and Leslie, where I taught, which is crazy because we went to the same high school.
Oh,
but
that's
funny.
We
ran into her when she was in like seventh grade. Yeah. Seventh grade.
Wow. Yeah, I was just going to say, I knew there's no way that in the women, the girls basketball world at high school level, there's no way that a girl that's good enough to play at our level, you didn't know about those from Goodrich.
Yes. And yeah, middle school. So, known her a long time.
And we're going to break the wall here a little bit. You guys are, we're pre-recording this interview today because, where are you going tonight?
The Goodrich Frankenmuth game.
Okay, yes, exactly. Yeah. So, add on that too.
Well, her
so.
Sisters are on the team.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I know you guys all went back for the Jay Gray milestone win.
Yes, the 500th win, which was amazing.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah. There's a lot of people here that like Jay Gray, too, I think.
Yes, he's a phenomenal coach and is why we are the way we are and where we came from. So.
I think even that AD, what's it, Jeff Curtis? I think even he likes Jay
Gray. They were collegiate teammates, so coaching is a small circle.
It is a small circle, and obviously the Goodrich-Midland circle, Goodrich-Northwood circle in particular is pretty small, too. Well, once again, Coach, thanks for joining us. You play at 6 o'clock Thursday against Wesleyan, Saturday, 1 o'clock at Hillsdale. Thanks for joining us, and good luck this week.
Thank you so much.
We'll take a break. Come back with Reagan Lounger. You're listening to Northwood Basketball Weekly, live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Welcome back to the final segment of Northwood Basketball Weekly, live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Our next guest, fifth year, but first time on the show. Is that right?
Yeah.
Fifth time on the show. Reagan Lounger. Reagan, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I like to ask people to have like a somewhat different last name. What's the worst pronunciation of your last name you've ever heard?
Honey Hart used to call me Lewinger on the air. I had to talk to him about that one.
Wow. And we're sitting in essentially what used to be named the Hudson Broadcast Center. So, ouch, that hurts. That's a good friend.
That's a great friend. I heard it one day just listening back to a game, and I was like, Hudson.
That's tough. That's a tough scene happens. For all. I mean, you know, it happens. So you are a fifth-year senior. Last year, I think you were kind of on the fence whether you were going to come back or not. What made you decide to play one more year of basketball?
I mean, I had the year. I love my teammates. They are some of my favorite people in the world. It felt wrong leaving them. I mean, Maddie I've played with since I was in probably first, second grade. So a long time. It didn't feel right, you know, moving on without her. So, and then I am now studying for my CPA, so it was a little bit easier to do in college.
That worked perfect. Yeah, absolutely. And you have been, I think one of the things about the way with COVID and everything that happened, it's that like that group last year that graduated was a big group that played together forever, and you were part of that group too. But then all of a sudden it's like, we got to bring in some new faces and stuff. So like, but like I said, you are one of the most beloved. Genuinely, not just saying that. I don't know anybody who's ever said a bad word about you. Not that anybody talks bad about their teammates to me, but in general, like, talk about going from playing with that group that you knew so well to essentially a lot of new faces and the transition and how all that's gone.
Yeah, it was definitely different because we had a lot of, especially not only like on the court, big key players, but a lot of big personalities and a lot of big leaders. So it was a little bit more difficult, I think, in the beginning to kind of have people figure out where they're standing now and how their roles are maybe changing as the new year comes on. But I think we've had great additions to our team. I mean, the freshman class is amazing. They're all super fun to watch. They're super fun to be around. And I think even our transfer additions, too, I think those were great calls that have really helped with our team chemistry. And
it's interesting, too, because, like, the freshman class, and I'm going to lump in the red shirts.
Yeah.
Like the personalities you talked about from last year, like I would say, I don't know how to say this though. I'm going to make sure I say it. This year's, particularly the red shirts, are so like even keel. And I love those girls from last year. But even keel would not be some of the description I would call for a lot of those girls. So like, it's just a whole different personality group. But having said that, you must be so proud of how the team's adjusted. And like early in the year, it was like the team that played Saginaw Valley. I mentioned this throughout the year on the show. The team that played Saginaw Valley versus the team we are now, it's hard to fathom that's the same season. Talk about the growth of the team overall.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of it kind of stems more from, honestly, off the court work. Like, I think there was a lot of players that were very iffy or very, like, not confident, I would probably say, at the beginning of the year. As we had a lot of, you know, new people, new roles. They weren't sure. Whereas, you know, I think I've been able to watch this past year a lot of those people kind of bloom into their personalities and get more comfortable with their spots and what they're doing. So I think that plays with a lot of that.
Yeah, and it's the thing about the young group, too, is that I love, like you said, building their confidence. But now they're such a confident group that, like, it's just – I've joked, like, Malin, I've talked a lot about Malin on the show, and I just – like, she never – all she does is make big shots because, like, halfway through the year, all of her threes were, like, with a minute to go in a close game, it felt like. And, like, she's just so, like – Well, yeah, of course I'm gonna make the shots. That's okay. What I do. And she's like the most even keel, and like it's a really fun group. And I'm sure like you've been, as much we enjoyed last year, you're enjoying. Like that's probably one of the things you're like, how am I gonna blend in with this new? But again, yeah. It's just another really good group of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is another one. You're a fifth year.
Yep.
How's the body holding up right now?
Oh, it's old.
Yeah,
it's
everybody old. That's fifth year, it's like it's like when you first get to college, like, oh, I'm fine, and then all of a sudden fifth year, like this time of year, you're like, okay, yeah, come on, old bones, let's get them going here. So, but overall, like, okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Just like not as easy to recover as the old days.
I was gonna say with our freshman class, like I feel like they're all so energetic and they're like light and fun, and it's like, you know, kind of like getting up and down the courts during those, you know, up and down, like the down and backs. It's definitely feel
Grandma Reagan's
there.
Like, all right, come on, let's go, let's get the body going. We mentioned like you've known so much of the, like, I mean, particularly the Volkers and stuff, like Maddie and even Jake. I mean. This show has turned into a 20% of the time is the roast of Jake Volker. But,
happens.
I mean, obviously we all know Jake well enough and this staff to know that he deserves it. but, like, talk about the Volker family and, like, you guys going so far back and how much that's been a huge part of your life these last few years.
Yeah, it's really fun. I'll say that. It's been a lot of fun, I think, kind of, like, taking more of a back seat and watching Jake and Maddie's, because Jake was also one of my assistant coaches in high school. And so, like, watching how he's started coaching and taking on, you know, new roles and all of that, and watching him kind of bloom into the coach that he's becoming too, has been super fun. And then watching Maddie not only kind of grow on the court, but I think off the court, she's also become a little bit more laid back and a little bit more, she's going to laugh at this, but fun, maybe. she always says she's a little more orange with her color test now than she was when she first came in.
Oh, yeah, so. I can see that. Oh, I was just going to say, the thing, I love them both dearly, but, like, when I first met Maddie and when I first met Jake, it's hard to fathom that they were related.
I know.
They are, I mean, Maddie is very serious. Maddie is very studious. I would not describe Jake as very serious. No. I would not describe Jake as very studious, and that's not an insult or a compliment to either of them. But they both kind of like they're kind of coming back towards the middle a little bit. They're both really fun, and and like I like to see Maddie relax a little bit. She's one of those people who put the weight on the world over her shoulders too.
Yes.
But like we talked about the Goodrich connection too with Autumn and all that too. So it's got to be really special to come here with a place to hear with so many people that you've known and cared about for so long too.
Yeah. I was gonna say with Autumn, actually, I found out that she was going to be the head coach in July, and I think I came to her like a week later and told her, I was like, hey, I want to be on your program. Like,
oh, that's great.
So I have nothing but great things to say about her. She's
okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's true. Do you want her to leave and you can tell me the truth since she's sitting right here? Or
I would say the same thing,
I know
promise.
You would. We would all say the same thing, that's for sure. So you got a few weeks left. What do you want to see out of the team? How do you guys want to approach these last few weeks of the season coming up?
As a team, I mean, I think we just want to keep kind of getting after it, getting better each and every day, and just kind of see those results take us off in the postseason and have a lot of success in those areas.
Well, you mentioned part of your future, but academically, what are you majoring in, and what do you want to do when you get done with school?
I was an accounting major when I was still my undergrad. I'm in graduate school now, so I'm getting my MBA. And then after this.
Everything.
Yeah, after this, I signed already with Deloitte, so I'm going to be working
great.
In Midland.
Oh, even better.
Yeah,
nice. When do you graduate?
May,
okay. May, so we'll see you pop in and maybe volunteer assistant coach for Autumn?
Something like that.
Okay,
Busy season, you know.
I know. Yeah, just pop in. I'm going to go on a limb and say the door is always open for you to come to practice and do whatever you want. You want to run practice? I'm sure Autumn will let you do it. She needs a day off too sometimes, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so, Reagan, I've just enjoyed having you around so much the last few years, and hoping you guys have a great finish the season. And great job on your first interview. We should have had her on before.
Thank you.
She's a good guest. Some of these other girls on the team are terrible.
Oh, I can only imagine.
No, they're good. They're all good. I'm just kidding. Thanks for joining us, and good luck this week.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, T-Mac.
Well, it's a historic and busy weekend coming up for Northwood Athletics in a lot of ways. Of course, the basketball teams, two games this weekend. Thursday, both against Kentucky Wesleyan. Saturday against Hillsdale on the road. 6-8 on Thursday. Right here at Reed Arena. Love to have you come out and enjoy the games. Saturday, they hit the road for their last games on the road in the state of Michigan this year at Hillsdale. 1-3 for those games. Those will be on the GMAC Digital Network. All the ads. Those games you can find on GoNorthwood.com, the links for those games. Today is a big day historically for Northwood Athletics as The men's lacrosse program is playing their first game in 25 years after the return of the program. They're down at Quincy today, so good luck to the Timberwolves as they take on the Hawks. Also this weekend, we talk about the first game in 25 years for men's lacrosse. The first game in program history for women's lacrosse is coming up this weekend as the Timberwolves head down to William Jewell on Friday to take on the Cardinals. That's at 3 p.m. Eastern time, and then Sunday at McKendree at 1 o'clock. So Morgan Radners, Jake Friedel are coaches for the women's and men's teams respectively. Good luck to both those programs as they begin their first seasons here at Northwood in for the men 25 years and for the women in program history. Also, we got women's and men's tennis are down at Roosevelt on tomorrow. The women's team is undefeated thus far despite being a player short in the roster right now. So Raul Quevedo, great job. He's been doing an awesome job as our tennis coach. Men's and women's tennis at there. And then baseball opens their season as well this weekend. They're hitting the road to Johnson City, Tennessee to take on Davenport. So it's two Michigan D2 schools going down to Tennessee to try and chase some decent weather. They will play a doubleheader on Friday and then a single game on Saturday and Sunday. And track and field, our final two games, it's, like I said, it's the busy time of year. Track and field competes at Grand Valley State. The Grand Valley's had this meet for years. It's called the Big Meet, and it truly is a big meet. There will be Division I athletes. There will be Division II athletes. Some of the best runners in the country will be there. So it will be great to see how our track and field programs compete at the highest level. I'd like to thank our sponsors of the show. That, of course, is Sandy Ridge Golf Course. They've been a great help to us this year and looking forward to having lots of golf outings out there this summer at their new clubhouse. And, of course, MyMichigan Health. It's a healthcare system as a part of the University of Michigan Health System, and they're headquartered here in Midland, Michigan. So thank you to both of those places and to all of our guests tonight, Nick Ellis, Tom Church, Autumn Hagedorn, Reagan Lowinger. And for you for listening, this is Travis McCurdy signing off. Have a great night, everybody.